Today's episode is brought to you by Taft Law and its Franchise Advance Program, a one-of-a-kind program developed by your host, Josh Brown, to help entrepreneurs assess, convert, and grow your business the right way through sound franchise structures. To learn more, go to taftlaw.com and type Franchise Advance Program in the search bar.
If you think like, act like, or are trying to grow like a franchise, then the Franchise Euphoria podcast is for you. Hello and welcome, everybody. Josh Brown here, and I created this podcast for one main goal: to help people who are trying to grow their business through franchising or franchise-like structures to do it the right way. I've been practicing law now as a franchise lawyer for many, many years, and I've seen it done the right way and the wrong way. And this podcast is not filled with a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo. Rather, I talk with real people, people who have been there, have done it, are doing it right now. And I also dive deep into specific topics related to franchising. So if this is of interest to you, you are at the right place. Enjoy. Welcome back to Franchise Euphoria. Thrilled today to have on Colin Benyow, who is the franchise growth strategist for the Melting Pot franchise brand. How you doing, Colin?
Josh, doing just fine. Pleasure to be here.
You know, it's funny. Like, I would think most people who are listening are know about the Melting Pot, but for, you know, the one or two who don't, give a little brief history of the Melting Pot.
Yeah, sure. Well, everything started back in 1975 in Maitland, Florida, which is just north of Orlando. Two gentlemen, Bruce and Roy, had never been in restaurants at all, but they knew that they had kind of a differentiating factor with fondue, being that nobody else was doing it, and so they wanted to stand out. And hearing stories from these two is hilarious because they really didn't know what they were doing. They were not restaurant guys. They have all these stories of, you know, slip-ups and things they would have changed and done differently. But at the end of the day, they were good business people. And they did a great job, eventually opened up a second location in Tallahassee, which actually had two gentlemen there who were managing the restaurant, the Johnston brothers. They kind of came to Bruce and Roy and said, "Hey, we really love the brand. We want to try and make a franchise opportunity out of this with your blessings." And that happened. And they actually were awarded the brand itself to grow in a franchise structure. Now, the third person who we haven't talked about yet was the dishwasher at that location. And it just happened to be the younger brother of the Johnson brothers. And he said, "Hey, I want to be a part of this." So they said, "Well, what are you going to do to put something forward so we know that you're serious about it?" He said, "Well, you know, anything I make money-wise dishwashing, you can just put right back in the business and that'll be my equity." And they said, "All right, you got it." And sure enough, that kid, 14 years old dishwashing, ends up turning out to be what will be and still is our CEO, Bob Johnston, for the brand.
Really? That's cool.
Amazing guy. I get to meet with him twice a week. Incredibly well gifted with the understanding that our job is to, you know, give the opportunity of starting a new chapter and owning a business to people across the United States. He's done an incredible job at doing that. And, you know, our headquarters are down here in Tampa, Florida, and we have 93 locations across the United States, including a location in Canada as well.
So what was Melting at the height of it? I mean, because, gosh, I remember Melting Pot, Colin, from when I was a kid, right? I mean, it was the exciting place that you go to, and it's like the fondue, and, you know, it's got sort of that unique component to it. At the height of franchising, how many locations did Melting Pot have?
I think we had as much as 130 plus, 140, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So then what, how did it, I mean, and this sometimes happens with brands, but so what happened to it that it kind of retracted?
Well, there's a lot of factors to it. I mean, I think some of the things are, you know, situations that most franchises in America had to deal with: housing crisis, you know, not understanding the data as much as we are now. A lot of restaurants currently are investing a lot of money into things like tech stack and what they utilize with technology and data and resources that they have either internally or outside. One of the things that we actually do with the brand is partner up with a company called SiteZeus. And this is a company that has a massive AI algorithm to give us information about not only our existing locations, which are fantastic to understand the demographics, the market segmentation around them, but even just the guests and where they're coming from. So we know really what a understandable territory for that store is and how far they reach. And I think at one point, Melting Pot didn't have that data and we didn't know what that true reach was. And so now that we're investing in it, we can do two things. One, we can secure the locations we have now to be intelligent about where we place our new stores, because there's a lot of underserved area in America. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So we're going to find those areas and we're also going to not intrude as we did sometimes with other locations to fight for the same territory. We have a great community of franchisees currently that are working their tails off in the store. And the last thing we want to do is, you know, be on their territory and kind of fighting for the guests that they're already fighting for with other brands. So
did you say that was called SiteZeus?
SiteZeus, correct. Yeah.
How do you spell that?
SiteZeus. And they supply us with gobs information that help not only the current franchisees, but me when I'm looking at territories and areas that we're looking to reach and start new locations in.
And are all these locations currently, are they all franchised or any of them corporate?
We have four locations that are corporate, and that's actually expanding in 2024. So currently, Sarasota, Florida, my hometown, and my store that I actually ran for 15 years as a test store, is the first. Pensacola, Florida, St. Louis, Missouri, and as well as an interesting one in Red Bank, New Jersey, that's half owned by our corporate office in Tampa, Florida, but also half owned by some of our franchisees. So it's kind of an interesting hybrid.
And that's, I think, kind
of, yeah, it's a kind of a proof that, you know, we are doing the right things and our franchisees say, hey, you know, yeah, we actually would like to do even more business with you. So that Red Bank location is a fantastic example of that.
Are those corporate stores? I mean, it's the same look, feel, run the same way. It's just corporate owned versus franchise, right?
Correct. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, we're putting, you know, our money where our mouth is. We're operating great locations that do well and are succeeding in their communities. And really, that's going to continue into next year. St. Pete was a location that we had for a very long time. But the building itself was just something that left something to be desired. It's very historical. It was a very intriguing Melting Pot. But really, at the end of the day, it wasn't that flagship store. It wasn't that, you know, if we're showcasing our brand to somebody, what they can expect in the future for a store that they would be interested in opening. So we closed that location. And after, quite frankly, a lot of setbacks trying to get that location up and running, we will have our new flagship store in 2024 in St. Pete, Florida. It's going to be tremendous.
All right. So here's what we're going to do, because this is it, I love the opportunity to have, you know, somebody on from a brand that's been around for a long time. I'm going to tell you my impression of Melting Pot the last time I was there, which was a long time ago, because I had a couple in the Indianapolis area, which is where I'm from. We might still have them here. I think that we do, actually. But so let me tell you my impression. Probably in high school or college, probably on a date with somebody, trying to impress them, going to a Melting Pot. I remember that it's dark inside. It felt dark inside. I remember the meals taking a long time, or that being part of that whole presentation. And I remember, you know, because you're doing the sort of the fondue thing, you know, with all that. And then I remember, now this is probably because I was in high school and college, I remember, you know, after being there for a while, having that meal, being like, wow, that was delicious, but man, I'm still hungry. Like, maybe because it's – so I'm just curious, how does that match up with the sort of persona of what Melting Pot was versus what it is now?
Well, first of all, Josh, I've ran the location in Sarasota, Florida for 15 years. So the fact that anybody walks out of the restaurant not full is baffling. So I'm hearing it from you. So I think you were just too focused on that date that you had with you back in the day. That's what I'll say about that. The second part is with the Indianapolis location, which is a fantastic location. Rob Arias, Mike Rohn, and Tom Anderson, our franchisees there, they actually have other locations as well. But when we talk about Melting Pot, past and present, that's a huge span. You know, we're talking decades at this point. And there are franchisees that have been with us for that long. You know, they were there from the beginning and still are with us. And some of them are even passing their stores on to their children at this point. But that's all another story. With the brand, I think what it was exactly what you used to utilize it as. It was perceived as that maybe once a year, twice a year kind of situation. You go out on a birthday, anniversary, a date night. It's, you know, experiential. It's quiet. It's dark. It's intimate. That was Melting Pot of the past. And we've recognized that. We've seen that in our guest feedback and the things that we're looking for when we talk to our segments of people that we're aiming at with our guests that are coming through the door. What we see not only with our guests but the industry at large is a new approach to dining. It's no longer those, you know, quiet cubbies of tables off to the side, open floor plans, lighter color schemes, different lighting components, windows. It seems to be kind of going in that direction, not only for us but for the industry as a whole. So what Melting Pot has done is come up with an approach that we call Melting Pot Evolution. And so this is a redesign for not only new locations that are going in, but also our existing locations, so that we're keeping these stores up to date. So like we said, we've had some stores that, you know, have been around for 30 plus years at this point that, you know, we want to make sure are going to still continue to serve their communities and people feel proud and happy that they're going to a location that looks great and looks taken care of. So by mid-year of 2024, every Melting Pot in the system will have gone through this remodel process.
Okay, good. It's a refresh.
It's absolutely a refresh, but it's also a redesign in a way. So what we were talking about is kind of that old thought process of what Melting Pot was. So back in the day, you had the bar area, and really what it was a waiting area. You were waiting for an opportunity to go to the dining room and enjoy your meal with your date. Now we recognize that the guests are not coming in exclusively for the dining room. Bar dining is something that is absolutely taken off, not only with us, but for the hospitality across the United States. Guests don't really want to be told how they eat. They just want to have the option to eat how they want to. So if it's coming in after work and doing happy hour at the bar, if it's coming in eating a four-course dinner at the bar, those are options. And so we put cooktops on each of the bar areas for people to do as many or little courses as they want. Television to those areas, stand-up dining, peninsula tables that come out so that you can do kind of group dining at the bar. We just want to give the guests the option to dine how they want to and how they want to do their fondue. And that's a very big process for our construction and design team, operations, marketing, everyone working together to really just make a great plan so that this Melting Pot Evolution works for our stores now and all our stores in the future.
Well, that sounds really interesting. That's great to hear. I mean, you know, all brands have to go through that, right? Eventually, and times change and so forth. In terms of, you know, your background is sort of interesting, right? You've been with the brand a long time, and obviously you ran a location for 15 years. Now you're taking on or have been taking on over the last year or so a new role, which is essentially helping the brand grow throughout its entire system. Number one, what attracted you to the brand initially and what kept you there?
Well, initially, it was I did my master's internship with the corporate office. I was doing marketing at the time, and I needed a internship to complete my degree. And so I said, hey, Melting Pot, I'm from Tampa, Florida originally. The headquarters are right here. How about we take advantage of that? So I got to work with some great people, Kendra Shear being one of the women that I worked with that was the head of that department, who was fantastic, still talk to her to this day. But even at that time, I was actually still trying to be a professional soccer player. I played in college and really wanted to give it a go to try and be.
How did you play in college?
I was a goalkeeper. And so I originally played at Florida State and then went down and played for Nova Southeastern. But I kind of felt like I could do it. It was in my blood and I really wanted to give it a shot. But eventually, as a goalkeeper, if you let in too many goals, they don't offer any soccer jobs.
So you were a goalkeeper, but you just had a problem keeping the ball out of the goal.
It's rule number one. You know, I also got to tell you, if you're a goalkeeper, you can't let the goals in. And at the end of the day, that's what happened. So, no, it was just something that didn't pan out. And eventually I kind of had to say, you know, what am I going to do? So at the time when I was trying out for all these teams and going across the U.S., I was serving at the Tampa location. And a gentleman who was our district manager, Bob Margate, came to me and said, well, what are you going to do? What's your next step? And I said, really? I don't know. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I like you, and I think that you're a great guy. I think that you would be a good fit to run one of our locations as a manager down in Sarasota. And I didn't know much about the area. I just was aware of it, I think mostly because I think that's where people went to retire, I think was the old understanding of what Sarasota was at the time. And I said, you know what, it's a new chapter. Let's give it a shot. And I went in. Saw the location, kind of immediately fell for it, really enjoyed it. In fact, the woman I'm married to now was actually somebody who worked at that restaurant. And so the brand itself brought me to the woman who I ended up being with for the rest of my life. So that's another plus that I see with Melting Pot. But if I can talk kind of from the brand perspective as an operator, it's a company that's amazing to work for because you don't really have to deal with the typical things that most hospitality outlets have to work with Melting Pot. No one is casually coming to Melting Pot on a whim. You know, it's a planned occasion. 90% of the plus of the time, 90% of our guests that come in are reservation based. So it's a circle on a calendar. It's a special occasion. It's a birthday. So the anticipation and happiness that people have coming to the Melting Pot is great. It's fantastic. So as an employee of that restaurant, that makes for such a much better criteria of guests that come in. So you're working with really just pleasant people that are happy to see you. And when you're a part of that emotion, you just build into it. So they have that high anticipation when they walk in, and your job is to, you know, even lift them just a little bit more because they've already done half the work with all the, you know, thoughts of cheese fondue and chocolate fondue in their head, even coming to the restaurant. So the guests that we got to work with are beautiful. They are absolutely fanatical about our brand. I mean, they come to us for, quite frankly, the biggest chapters and moments in that year that we're in, because that's a gift. When someone says, hey, you know, it's a special occasion, it's your birthday, anniversary, you know, special time, where do you want to go? And someone says Melting Pot, that's a choice that they make to come and see us. So I could speak for me as an operator and then the owners and all the operators across the United States that when you see people walk into the Melting Pot, that's a gift. And we're happy to invite them in and allow them to time just to slow down, enjoy the company. As Bob usually says, it's not necessarily what's happening in the pot, but what's happening around it. And that's the experiential dining. That's one of the main reasons I stood with Melting Pot as long as they did. It was really great coming to work every day because I got to host a party every night.
So did as part of the growth strategy now, right, which is what you head up, I'm guessing, you know, one growth strategy is you go to the current people that are doing well, right? The current folks that, you know, are doing well and possibly looking for expansion. That's a great bucket to pull from. Outside of that, you know, you go to people who those people know, right? Oh, hey, they know this person, but you go, you know, to the people who you all know and they know. But if we're just talking about organic strategy or digital strategy or just, you know, complete strategy that you are incorporating into the growth outside of those mechanisms, what are the things that you're doing? And are you doing it regionally, like from a regional geographic basis, or are you guys just looking for growth just generally across the United States?
I would say the focus for us is kind of that southeastern United States, given our location. We understand that market is very strong for franchising. Yet at the same time, we get inquiries and leads from literally across the United States to even across the world. So when we talk about who's coming to us, I could say really the basis of who's coming to us are Melting Pot fans. I mean, I would say a majority of the people that are in our community now either worked for us in some capacity or were Melting Pot guests at one point.
So how do you decide if they're going to be a good franchisee? You guys got a lot of data under your belt. You got a lot of years. And I'm asking because it's something that a lot of franchisors want to know, right? It's like, hey, how do you do this thing? We know there's not one way to do it, But you get these folks that reach out. They're raving fans. They're either customers. They're either employees that want advancement. So you hire within or promote from within. What do you guys then look at to say, hey, in our experience, this is what really would we think would give you the best opportunity to be successful. And these are the folks we want to go with versus, hey, thank you so much for your interest, but here's maybe something else because we don't think you're quite ready to take this on as a franchisee.
Yeah. I think what the end of the day is that we always say, you know, I'm in franchise growth, I'm not in franchise sales particularly. And the reason why I say that is because Bob comes to me and when we talk on our meetings that I have with him every week, he doesn't ask me how many melting pots did you sell this week. The questions that he's asking me is, who are you talking to? What are the relationships that you're starting? What is your understanding of the folks that we're talking to now? And that's the biggest part. I went to a franchise convention in Atlanta about a month or two ago, and a very young lady came to us. I think she was still in college, but she knew that the franchising model was something she wanted to be. And she pretty much just asked me, said, what is advice can you give me about finding, you know, a franchise opportunity that fits or works for me? I said, it's kind of a coin with two sides. There's the side of the brand that you want to make sure that you have a connection to. Do you believe in it? Is this something that you truly can like say, I think this is a good idea? That's only half of it. If that's true, then the other half of that side is, who are the people that are driving this business alongside me? And when you go into a franchise community of either myself or really any opportunity, it's the people at the head of the business, the leadership team, and the support that you're going to get that makes that brand successful. Really, I introduce people to the idea of understanding who we are as much as I can, because that's the selling point. If you come to Tampa, Florida for 1 hour discovery days and you meet the 65 plus employees that support our 93 locations, which is a crazy ratio in this.
It really is a crazy ratio.
And you meet the leadership team and understand the experience and intelligence and understanding that they have. If you come to Discovery Day and you don't think that that's going to work for you, believe me, you are in rare air, because when people come to Discovery Day and they meet the support that we provide, they get it. They understand. And that's kind of what we want. We want them to ultimately take a big leap in life. I mean, owning a franchise is a big leap. It's a risk. But that's what entrepreneurship is. And so our job as franchisors is never to take away all that fear or that risk, but it's to lower it as much as possible. So when the opportunity comes up and we match on things like core values, ideas of understanding a business, how to run a team and build them, if those all match up and we feel that you're someone that could build the brand in a positive way, we'll offer you that seat, and then we can see how far you can go.
So tell me about the hotel partners that you guys are working with. I believe you're starting to partner up a little bit with hotels and get some melting pots in there as well.
Yeah, this is an interesting methodology that we're trying to find success with. Now, when we think about hotels, naturally, if you're in a hotel, you're probably on the road. You're probably traveling and just needing a place to rest your head at night. Now, hotels understand that. And so what that does naturally is kind of disassociate themselves from the local community. And that's hard, because if you're a business that stays in one place and you don't have a connection to the people that are immediately around you, that can hurt you. But if you have something like a world-class operation of a fondue restaurant in the first floor of your restaurant, and you're able to bring guests to that, you're bringing about an awareness and an understanding of your business in that community. And that's exactly what hotels want. It's just a difficult thing to get done. And the good part for us is that when we tag up with that, A, we're able to partner with somebody that has an available area that we deem as a fit for our brand and what we're looking for. And then two, you're dealing with hospitality folks that know what they're doing. A lot of these hotels that we want to do business with are world-class operators. You know, they're people that understand team building, guest relations, standard operating procedures and how to carry those out. And if we could find somebody to partner with that has those under their belt, that's a win-win for both parties.
Well, it sounds like you got a lot of excitement going into the new year. Thank you, Colin, for taking a few minutes here to share about Melting Pot and the growth strategies going forward. If people want to learn more about Melting Pot or want to get in contact with them, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you got meltingpotfranchise.com, which will give you a great amount of information about who we are and what the process is like in order to join our system and franchise opportunity. Or just talk to Josh. I think he's got a long time to get out and take some money on a date to Melting Pot again. It's been too long.
Thanks again, Colin. Best of luck to you.
Josh, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed it, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. It really helps to get this show out to more and more people. Also, if you have any questions, have ideas for guests or topics, please email me, Josh at IndyFranchiseLaw.com. That's Josh at IndyFranchiseLaw.com. And finally, please note that this podcast is for entertainment and educational purposes and is not in any way, shape, or form meant to be any kind of legal advice. If you're seeking legal advice, please contact a lawyer. Have a great one. Happy franchising.